But Jesus called unto them and said, Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, as to such belongeth the kingdom of God.
This is the story of David and Jonathan. After David had killed the giant Goliath, he and Jonathan, the son of King Saul, became good friends. Jonathan loved David so much as his friend that he gave him his robe, armor, and sword. Jonathan was a generous friend. Jonathan shared his things with David, like you and I should share things with our friends. David took the robe and the armor and sword and became a great warrior against the Philistines, who were the enemies of God. He was such a great warrior that the people said about David and King Saul, King Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. King Saul became very jealous and angry at David. He was so angry that he wanted to do David harm. One day when David was playing his harp in the presence of Saul, Saul became angry and threw his spear at David. But David ducked out of the way and the spear missed him. But this did not stop Jonathan and David from being friends. Later, King Saul sent his soldiers out to capture David. But Jonathan, his friend, came and warned him. David ran and ran and hid in a field. Soon Jonathan came to the field where David was hiding, and he signaled David to come so that he might talk with each other. And Jonathan told David that his father, King Saul, was still angry and wanted to harm him. They made plans how Jonathan might warn David if the king was still angry, and this was their plan. Jonathan said to David, I'll bring a small lad with me and shoot three arrows on this side of the big pile of rocks in the field. If the arrow does not go beyond the lad, then you will know that the danger is over. But if I say to the youth, look, the arrows go beyond you, then you will know that my father still wishes to do you harm. So the next day Jonathan came to the field with the lad, and he said, so we see then that Jonathan was a faithful friend. You and I must be faithful to our friends. We must help them when they're in trouble. David came out from his hiding place, fell down to the ground, bowing himself three times before Jonathan. And they began to embrace each other and weep because they loved each other so very much. And they would not be able to see each other again. So we see then that Jonathan loved his friend David very much. If you and I love our friends, we will show them that we love them. So Jonathan went back into the city, but David had to go to another city so that the king could not find him. And David lived there many days.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. We all have heard about animal doctors, and we know that when our pets are sick, and when a farmer's animals are sick, he takes them to a veterinarian so that he may make them well again. But have you ever asked yourself, who makes the wild animals well? Who takes care of them? Who mends the broken wing of a robin or sets the sparrow in its nest? Someone does, you know. God does. In his infinite love, he has provided ways by which animals take care of themselves, and they treat themselves when they are sick or injured. Perhaps you have seen a dog gnawing a bone. A rather silly thing to do, you think. But suppose this morning your mother had insisted that you brush your teeth, and you replied to her, "But mother, my dog doesn't brush his teeth." And if your mother wanted to humor you somewhat, she would say, "Yes, but you don't gnaw bones to clean your teeth." So you see, in this way, God has given animals the desire to take care of themselves. As another example, there's an old saying that a hurt dog licks his wounds. Yes, we've all seen our little puppies lick themselves when they have cut themselves. They lick and lick and lick with their tongue, and soon they get well. Perhaps this does something to bring out the poison in the wound. We don't know. But we do know that before long, our little dog will be well, with no help at all from us. A wounded bear will go straight to a tree and eat its leaves and branches. He knows somehow that it is good. Sun is helpful. It kills germs. But the elephant, he knows too. Somehow, he knows that mud and sunlight will help him to get well. Men who study nature are constantly amazed at how animals are able to adapt themselves to survive in a world full of enemies. The lizard who changes his color to hide himself when danger is near. How do animals know when to hide themselves and how to do so? How do they know how to fool their enemies? How do wild animals get well? God helps them. That's how. In their eating habits, too, wild animals eat what makes them healthy. They do not eat the poisonous plants in the forest, or candy all the time, nor do they eat too much as we sometimes do. Somehow God has given them the instinct to eat the right things in the right amounts. Last summer, I was fishing at a nearby lake. I caught a bass which was too small to keep. It had swallowed the hook completely, and I knew that if I pulled it out, the fish would die. A friend who was with me advised, "Cut the line and leave the hook in the fish. The acid in the fish's stomach will soon dissolve the hook, and he will be as good as new." As the fish swam away, I thought to myself, isn't it wonderful how God has given animals the power to heal themselves? Yes, it is wonderful. In fact, it might even be called a miracle. In his wisdom, our Heavenly Father provides for the birds of the air and the foxes in the field. He gives them food and protection from their enemies. He heals their wounds. As God cares for them, he cares for us even more. The difference is that instead of providing us with instincts, he gives us our minds so that we may be able to take care of ourselves. Yes, God does love his wild creatures. He provides for their health. With our consent and faith, he will provide for ours too.
I know you little boys and girls know Clarence the cross-eyed lion. Well, the story I want to tell you this morning is a man, a king, that had a pen of lions. He had a big group of them. And in helping him rule his kingdom, he had three princes. Two of those princes were evil, mean. One named Daniel was a very good prince, and he worshiped God three times a day. So when the two mean princes, they were a little bit jealous of Daniel. They got mad at him. They're trying to find ways in which they could get Daniel into trouble. So they went to the king and they'd figured out an idea. They had something to tell him. And they told him, says, King, we should make a law, we should make a rule that anyone who worships or prays to other than you should be cast into the lion's den. So the king, he being a man that liked people to praise him, he says, that's what we'll do. So these two mean princes, they immediately started out looking for a way which they could get Daniel in his trouble. They had seen him pray before. So they looked into his window, and now they saw him on his knees, praising God. And when they did, they went to the king and they said, we saw Daniel praising other than you. We saw him praying unto God. And so when they did, the king says, in that case, we have to put Daniel in the lion's den. And so he did. And he says, Daniel, I hate to do this, but your God will take care of you. But he really didn't believe that. Next morning, he rushed out to the lion's den, and he called Daniel. And he was very surprised when Daniel answered. And Daniel says, long live the king. And he says, God, close the jaws of the lion that they wouldn't bother me. Now the king, he was pretty mad at these two mean princes. And he said to them, now you have caused Daniel to have to go into the lion's den. You will receive the same punishment. We'll put you in there with the lions. And this time, God did not close that jaws. By this story, we find that we need to be very careful how we tell tales that get other people in trouble. And two, we find that if we put our life in God's hands, we are always safe. May we pray. Our merciful Father, as we come this morning, and as we look upon these young ones, may we reevaluate our lives. May we submit ourselves unto Thee with all innocence and praise. Father, let us be like these little children. Let us be led by Thy graceful hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.